Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to G Live. It's your weekly dose of board gaming news and discussion brought to you straight out of the gaming library headquarters. Well, if we were in the headquarters. Still, no kahit na GCQ guys, we still have to stay at home and safe. And of course, broadcasting to you live from my home. My name is Leo. Of course, joined tonight by Glory. As always, Glory, kumusta?
I'm good. Medyo na-delay ako getting ready and online because nag-grocery run ako today. And sobrang daming tao. Iniwan ko yung cart ko kasi ayoko na. I gave up.
Okay, that's ridiculous. But again, I think it's because people are trying to beat the sweldo date kasi nga 11th na, so we're like a few days away from sweldo. But also, yep, we're joined tonight by our very special guest to help us get enlightened on the correlation of board games and education. Of course, a teacher by trade and a game designer himself, responsible for titles like Pawikan Patrol and more. Please welcome Mr. Mikey Cuento, the tabletop traveler himself. Mikey, kumusta? Hi, Mikey. How you doing, man? All right. He seems to have been frozen by a bit. He'll be back, all right? He'll be back. Tonight as well, besides our main topic, we are also going to be delivering to you guys some news from the gaming library website and, of course, from behind the scenes. So ito, unahin na muna natin to while we're waiting for Mikey. Hopefully, he does connect soon. Kasi kanina nag-prepare na tayo eh. His internet seemed okay then. Maybe now it just stuttered. Umuulan kasi. Umuulan din ba sa inyo, Glory?
Yes, ang lakas ng ulan dito. Okay. In Makati. Okay. But you're also in Makati.
I mean, Taguig. It's pretty close. But it is strong. So hopefully you guys are safe and dry indoors. And do let us know if you're watching. And if you have any questions for Mr. Mikey here, put them in the chat. Alright? So, real quick, news muna. Let's get through some housekeeping. If you guys are regulars of the Gaming Library website, gaminglive.com, you will see some new titles are up for pre-order. Some of them include Azul Crystal Mosaic. That's a small expansion for Azul. It is just under 1,000 pesos. And we also have Heaven and Ale, Kegs and More. Is this an expansion?
I bought that. Yes, it's an expansion. It's the first expansion to Heaven and Ale. Very excited. I immediately bought a copy because I love Heaven and Ale.
Yep, it looks great. It comes with those little wheelbarrows and new boards to add to your Heaven and Ale base set. So that's amazing. As well as others. Guys, check it out once more. Visit gaminglive.com. And we still have our Taco Cat Goat Cheese Pizza demo promo going on. All you gotta do is load up your cart with 2,500 pesos worth of games, and then you add the Taco Cat Goat Cheese Pizza demo. It's a free add-on, and then check your cart, make sure that it's there and it reflects as 0 pesos, and then go ahead to check out. Mm-hmm. Alright, libreng libre on for you guys once more. Just make sure you fill your cart in with 2,500 pesos worth. So, brandali naman nun when it comes to, you know, bigger games or titles that have, like, good components in it. So, it's easy peasy, it's free for you. And
Highlight lang natin also a new arrival, Sheriff of Nottingham, second edition.
Oh, yeah.
This time it's from Come On. And I understand that this already includes the Merry Men expansion plus upgraded components and revised or major refreshed rules. So do check it out. I mean, it's the same yung look niya, medyo same, but I can feel that because it's from Come On, definitely the components have been upgraded. There are also other Come On releases like Gizmos and Potion Explosion. Yep. So if you guys have been looking for those titles, they're already available for pre-order.
Also, just a nice little bow to wrap up our news bits. There is a little bit of how do we say, discussion happening in the GLive Game Night community group. It's a Facebook group, guys. Na link ko yan sa ating pinned comment. So again, do check the pinned comment on the stream and go ahead and join the GLive Game Night community. We're asking you guys how we can actually improve gaming library and our services to you. As well, if you check one of those threads, you will see that there is a little promo for one of our favorite genres that you can use on the website. So why don't you go on ahead and join us and find that code. It's a big code. I think it's 10 to 15% off. One or the other. 10 yeah. to 15 for an awesome genre that we all love and play. Alright, so once more, check out the pinned comment. Join the GLive Game Night community. And yeah, that aside, we are just going to wait for our guests to jump back in. But with that being said, Glory, you want to say hi to the people in the chat right now? May mga nanonood tayo and some friends of ours.
Yes. Hi, Jericho and Sam. How are you guys? Well, yun lang nakikita ko. Meron pa ba? But the hi to the 15 people out there. Let us know where you're watching from and kung anong favorite nyong nilaro this week. Ako, sadly, wala pa rin ako nalalaro recently because it's been quite hectic, but looking forward to playing some games this long weekend. Hopefully, Pandemic Legacy because gusto ko na talaga matapos yun.
Is it a long weekend?
Yeah, ah, it's independent.
Right, right, right. Tomorrow, because okay, I don't have real holidays. So
we meld.
Like every day there's work. So ayon. Oh nga pala, tomorrow is the day of independence. As a kid, I used to call it the Philippines' birthday. So that's June 12th.
Philippines' birthday.
Yeah, so
yeah, medyo appropriate naman.
Yeah, so tomorrow, guys, yun. If you have any plans for the weekend, let us know what you want to play, what you are going to play. Here we go. Let's try to get our friend in. Mikey. We'll just hop back in the call and join. It's the
okay,
same.
Okay, so
one.
Bigyan na lang natin sila ng background kung bakit ba natin to naisip, yes, yung topic na to.
Yes. Actually, board games and education.
Yes. Oh, wait. Andiyan na si Mikey.
He is online, yeah. Back? Hi, Mikey. Yeah, that's him. He's in. And then he just needs to turn on his camera, which is, which is a trick also in itself. There it is. Hey, Mikey. Oh. Yeah. What's up, man? Yung ulan, eh, no? Mahirap talaga pag umuulan.
Yep.
Yon! Your microphone seems to be off.
Oh, it's I'm on push to talk. How do I turn off push to talk?
Must be in your settings. Check your settings. But yeah, I guess that's. Wait, let me check Discord. Let me check Discord mobile para matulungan kita. Push to talk.
Ganyan talaga ang realities, guys, of live streaming. Sometimes there are technical difficulties.
Okay. Settings, voice and video, push to talk. How do you turn off push to talk?
Yeah, sorry to the audience.
Ayun, yeah, okay.
Stuff happened all of a sudden.
Yeah, so what you do is you go into your you click your head down in the lower right corner of Discord. And then you go into settings, app settings, and you click voice and video, and then you go into input mode and you click switch to voice activity. Yeah. There you go. That should be it. All right? Look at that, guys. Instant troubleshooting.
Voice activity.
Yep.
Okay. There. Voice activity.
You got it?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yep.
Perfect.
Yes, we can hear
all
you.
Right.
Okay.
Yay.
Oh, this is so cool. Okay. Oh, this is so cool.
Nice, Bill.
Wow, so the teacher got teached.
Taught.
That makes sense.
Taughted.
Got taught.
Taughted. All right.
And that's why I'm not a grammar teacher.
Okay, guys.
Hey, look. This works.
Oh, di ba?
This works.
Same na rin.
Yeah,
halos same.
You can see the stuff.
Halos same. All right. So, we'll go back to the start. We got the housekeeping out of the way. We talked about news for Gaming Library and our announcement. So, yeah. Kukumusta yung kumuna namin, Mikey. Mikey, how are you doing, man? What's it like over there?
Well, like I said earlier, I've been out of a job for 2 months. I really planned to take a sabbatical, no? I just didn't think that my sabbatical would coincide with the lockdown. So, but I really planned to travel around, no? During the summer vacation before I transition to my new job. But what can I do? So, buy board games, buy miniature models, start painting, design a few games, no? Get smart, learn how to cook, no? I've been posting a lot of cooking stuff online, no? So that's what I've been busy with in the past 2 months.
Yeah, we invited you specifically because of your experience with teaching, and tonight we're talking about board games in education. Can you tell us what your work was like as a teacher? Ano klaseng students yung mga tinuruan mo? What subject you had, so that you know our discussion could be, you know, better enforced by what you did back then in your schoolwork.
So, today we were discussing about, I think before the before we went live, no, that kids are more inclined for play, no, and I've taught over the past 7 years, no, I've taught a broad range of, you know, students. A few preliminaries. In my first year of teaching, I was actually teaching high school and college students, no. And then, just 1 year of that, and I decided, nope, I think I'm better off. I think I'll have more fun teaching in the primary grades, no? But there are lessons learned from teaching high school and college students that carried over to my time as a primary school teacher, grades 3 to 6. And the common denominator really is play, no? Play. What I learned is that students really can't stay put for long periods of time. There have been studies, it's all in the textbooks, it's part of Education 101, no? And because I moved to a school with a lower class size, and we were permitted to employ more progressive methods of teaching.
Yep, your old style.
So I had free reign to design my lesson plan. I had free reign to teach in the way that I pleased, well, with certain limits. And actually, in my previous work, we were encouraged to use play, to use games, no. But later on, we'll try to distinguish, no, what kind of play is needed in the classroom, and how that translates to distance learning, to homeschooling, and how we can actually properly implement board games as a learning tool. No, we'll get to that later.
So you started out with your very short time teaching college and high school, and then you spent most of your time, I'm not sure if you mentioned it just now, but we talked about off the air, grades 3 to 6, parang dyan ka nagtagal.
Yes.
You taught more grades 3 to 6, and then you said very small class size. How small is small?
Small would be 12 to 18 students.
Under 20?
Under 20. In fact, the recommended size for any class would be 15, no? Mm. For a particular age, no? So for the lower age kids, yung mga grades 1 to 6, yung mga medyo aligaga, no? They're very energetic, very highly excitable, no? The fewer the better. But as you move up in the higher years, so junior high to senior high, you can increase the number of bit, but again, it's always more effective if there's fewer students, no?
Yeah, I mean, more attention. Each kid is able to, like, not expend their energy with a larger group, so they're focused more on what you actually bring. That's interesting, no? 15? Under 20? Nung ako, nung grade school ako, nung high school ako, even in college, I think we were hitting 50.
40.
Yeah, 40,
yeah.
50. So
40 to 50.
I guess K-12 really changed things, no? I guess it really...
But, That's still the standard, no? Yung minimum of 30 students in most schools, no?
Yeah.
It just happened to be I was in a progressive school where that's the ideal, yung lower numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I've taught as few as 11.
Wow.
11.
11? That's a big barcada. Yeah. 11 is just a big barcada. That's a very small class. All right. So you mentioned that your school. Your school was very progressive, and they actually encouraged using your own style. And of course, play is something that's innate to you. Can you tell us how you used board games in teaching? Like, just a few anecdotes, para lang meron tayong concrete examples as to how you brought in games into your classroom.
Okay. Sige. So, unlike in actual game night, or game days, or board games, I was writing this earlier, no? Games in a classroom setting, or in a learning setting, are more springboard to learning, no? It can be the centerpiece, but the game is not the lesson. Did that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's just a springboard, now a launch platform for the learning, no? The game is supposed to provoke, no? To provoke a reaction from the students, no? To explain it very simply. So, for example, if I'm going to use Wingspan. Now, Wingspan is a game you can play under an hour. No, it's very easy to teach. No, I haven't actually used this, but I have used other games. No, I have used Pandemic before. No, pero just to give an example, if I were to use Wingspan, diba, it's an hour long game, my setup pa.
Yeah.
And it would if the lesson is 3 units, meaning 3 50-minute sessions in a week. The very first day would be dedicated simply for the game. So teaching the game, playing the game for a few minutes, maybe half the length of the game.
Yep.
Just to get students to, oh, so this is how it works. And then you'll need to process them pa, no? And later I'll talk about methods, no? There are the two ways that you use tabletop games in the classroom or in learning. Yung explicit learning and yung implicit learning, no? And dito sa Wingspan, no? Or depending on the length of the game, you will have to properly curate the experience, no? Or to cut it down. You might have to cut down on some of the rules. You have to simplify it, no? And really just pick what is necessary, no? Think of it as teaching a game for the very first time. You start with the basics first. But it's even more pared down in the classroom setting. Kasi you want to zero in on what matters. So if I'm going to use Wingspan as an example, diba there are actual wingspans inside, no? So if the focus would be on or habitats, you would focus teaching Wingspan, focusing on the habitat aspect, no? Mm-hmm. So, and then you might even need to curate the contents of the game to put the focus on habitat. So you'll have to carefully choose the cards, parang which cards take into account the habitat more than the wingspans, mm-hmm. and other, you know, or parang doesn't focus too much on the technical abilities. You might, ganun, it's a different kind of play, you know? You can't deliver this thing, you know, this entire game, as is.
Yeah, it won't really be too, conducive to learning. I mean, you learn a few things, but to really hone in on certain lessons, it's a game within a game. Parang kailangan mo siyang himayin. And again, not just himayin in the sense na this game is usually an hour and a half, so I'll split it into 3 50-minute sessions or something like that. But even the game itself, tatanggalin ko to, even the deck of birds, like I'll make sure that it only features the ones that really focus on what I want to learn or what I want my students to learn. So that's using it in the classroom. But you also mentioned two very interesting things. First is the kind of learning, implicit and explicit, and then teaching the board games itself. Glory, what do you want to hear about first? Yung kinds of learning or yung teaching the board games? Because these are two things that I think we should talk about.
I think the implicit versus explicit.
Mikey, what do you mean about that? Can you tell us about that?
Sige. So, explicit and implicit learning, in the education sector, those mean sort of different things, no? So explicit would be the explicit. So what you teach is what you're spouting out in class, what you're showing, the photos, they will take it for what it is.
Literal.
They're explicitly, literal, no? They're explicitly learning the obvious stuff, no? Okay, so again, going back to Wingspan, if I bring this out in class, no, and maybe because the lesson is about birds, where they live, no? So that is the explicit teaching, no? You choose a game where the theme is directly related, no? It is very, very much connected to the lesson. Mm-hmm. So if the lesson is about birds, or not even birds, not just birds, finding different kinds of habitat, migratory patterns, no? So you bring up this game, explicit, kasi it is directly connected to the game, uh-huh. No? So, and the content explicitly teaches certain things. So, di ba, merong mga habitat types yung, should I bring out the cards? So, while I'm talking, no? So, on some of the cards, you see the habitat type, no? You see the habitat type, and then you will see the wingspan, no? Those are explicit information that's being given to you by the card. So, yun, nakikita ba?
Yeah.
Anyway, medyo blurry, no? But, so, some of the cards tell you where your supposed habitat is, the actual wingspans are there, no? And then you can, and then they're identifying colors, no? There are physical features that you can study. That's explicit because it's directly related to the lesson, to the topic at hand.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, there's implicit, no? What we call in the education circles as the hidden curriculum, the hidden lesson. So that would focus more on the skills and the values and the techniques, no? So for example, in pandemic, okay, sure, you can be teaching a lesson about different diseases, no? How diseases are transmitted, no? But pandemic, the virus is just a theme, no? It doesn't tell you much about the viruses. Diba? These are generic, ano? Diba, there are four, those who are familiar with pandemic, there are four colors of pandemics, the red, blue, yellow, and the black ba yun? Anyway, or five ba? Oh my god.
It's four lang.
And then, but playing the game doesn't teach viruses. It doesn't teach you about diseases. What it does teach is teamwork, no? And, my publisher would say all the time, no? And some of my friends who are board gamers, they would always say, wait, we're all playing pandemic. It's a co-op game. Why is everyone, oh no, we're gonna get political. Why is everyone being, ano, divisive? Why is everyone doing their own thing?
Mm-hmm.
So, that's implicit, no? In playing pandemic, you're also teaching values such as cooperation, teamwork,
yeah.
Knowing your role, timing, kaya nga, pandemic is best used in the classroom when you're trying to teach. parang you're trying to teach against being alphas, being ano, parang
or being
hogging the spotlight.
Oh, or just not doing your job, right? Kasi sometimes,
or just
again,
not doing your job.
Yeah, when you're in college, may mga tao na parang paserox nga nito, tas yun yung trabaho mo sa group work. Diba? And you can't be like that in pandemic. You can't be the paramedic in pandemic, tas hindi ka nagtatanggal ng virus. Diba? Like, that's, again, so, yeah.
Question,
Mike. Yeah, sure. Glory.
So when you're choosing a game for whether it's an explicit or implicit lesson, when you're choosing it, do you focus on what the lesson is rather than what is more appropriate in terms of their age? Because you mentioned kanina that you were teaching grades 3 to 6 and before high school and college, so medyo malalayo yung age groups nun. So do you pick a game that's more appropriate for, let's say, younger audience, or try to find a game that's more fit for younger audience, or you just modify it to make it.
Sige, medyo hot take ito, but I believe that any game can be used. Any game can be a tool for both explicit and implicit teaching. But the key there is, how are you able to pare it down? No, how are you able to deconstruct the components of the game, choose the rules that you need to teach, choose certain aspects that you want to take, no, and adjust accordingly to what you were saying earlier, no, the age group, parang fine, Dark Souls, what, Dark Souls? You're gonna teach Dark Souls a board game, or the Godfather, the, sorry, not. Anyway, you can take any game, take some of its parts, remove some things, put in some things, change the theme, explain it differently, no? It really depends, again, it will, like you said earlier, it will depend on what you want to achieve at any particular time, and you will have to make a judgment call whether this game can be tailored fit for the particular audience that you're in, or whether it will take away, whether it will distract, whether it will not be as conducive to learning that particular topic, no? So again, I keep on coming back to Wingspan, no? I'm so biased about this game because it's easy to teach, no? So if I'm teaching this in high school, and well, typically kasi araling panlipunan, no? So, or social studies is given ano lang eh, I'm only given 4 meetings a week, no, and that's, and that, sorry, 3 meetings a week. That's not a lot. And in our school, I had to convince our administration to, can you make Araling Panlipunan 3 times a week? Because before it was just twice a week. Mm-hmm. And because again, to match my pedagogy, no, to match my teaching. In college, in high school, I probably teach the entire day. Because I'll be able to teach it quickly. Tear it down, do the implementation, then just curate it, no? But if I'm going to level, kasi I tried teaching this in grade 5, no? We tested it first. No matter what we did, if we taught the full game, it wouldn't work.
Hindi kaya. No?
And hindi talaga kaya. So we really had to take out certain, a lot of things, no? Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm saying. Depending on your purpose, depending on your intention, you will have to evaluate what a few questions you can ask. How much am I able to take out of the game? How much am I able to use the game? And if I did, will the game still serve the purpose it was intended for? And there are times when if the game won't work, try something else that won't use a board game na lang. Because I don't use board games every time. No, I don't use board games every time. Siguro, if we meet 12 times a month, so 3 times a week, probably, ano lang, 4 of those sessions involve board games.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good tip. Yes, yes. I think that's a good tip when you said that determine how much you can pare it down and whether it will still serve the purpose of what you're trying to teach. I think those are two very important guides when you're trying to choose a game to teach to a particular audience to serve a particular topic. So yeah.
Super interesting the stuff that's coming out of these questions, and I'm learning things that weren't even part of the main like outline. But here's something I want to talk about. You already mentioned like age groups and like kung angkop ba siya dun sa gusto nating ituro or sa yung laman nung sabihin natin lesson plan. I have one question. Mikey, do you believe in like the box ratings of board games? Like this game is for 14 plus or this game is for 12 plus. What's your take on that?
Well, sige. Depends on ano, no, what hat we're wearing. Kung industry, no? Kung industry hat.
As a game designer. As a game designer, yeah.
As a game designer, we're told na don't put the age labels kasi we're gonna have a run-in with the people who run the products in this country, no? They're gonna evaluate, are there any chewables, swallowables in your product? You put an age range there, you're gonna get questioned and
welfare,
put a lot of paperwork, a lot of logistics, no? But, so that's on the industry side, no? As an educator, again, it's related to what I said earlier, no? The hot take, supposedly, that any game can be used, no? But if you're going to be really mindful, no? If you're really going to be considerate, of course, no? You'll think of the theme, no? I wouldn't teach a blood and gore guts fighting kind of game, no, for little kids. No, I wouldn't teach Dark Souls. I wouldn't bring out Kingdom Death Monster. I wouldn't teach Warhammer because eventually the kids will ask, oh, teacher, what happens in the grim darkness of the 41st millennium? And I tell them, oh, we're all under a tyrannical empire, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So, content appropriateness, it's really important. But when it comes to the labels and how it helps people choose the games for teaching or even for just, you know, playing with their children, again, it can be a misnomer, no? And even if it says recommended age is 9 and up, if you apply what I said earlier, na teach it, pare it down, no? And see if you can still approximate the experience. And then, ano lang, slow drip, no? Slow drip, introduce more concepts. Ganun naman din with, ano, di ba? With us adult gamers, we usually start with a base set, then we add the expansions. But even among adults, for example, when you're teaching tapestry, pwede nga muna, I'll just teach these things, no? And then, I'll teach you about your city board later on, no? Parang, sige, just focus on moving on the different tracks, tapos try to get the cool houses that you want, no? And that becomes, yeah, even if it doesn't match the shape of your town square, no? But that's the thing with kids, no? You always follow the rule of cool, no? So, it's not just in wargaming and modeling, but also in teaching, ano? Teaching tabletop games to different age groups. What is cool to them? What is relevant to them?
Yeah.
What will catch their attention the most? Zero in on that. Choose that, no? And even with D&D, no? Although I am an advocate of turning off, even if I, because we do D&D with kids, no? And we have teachers in our school who actively use, our guidance counselors, they use tabletop role-playing games, D&D in particular, and other gaming system, RPG systems, for, you know, for counseling, for group activities, and some kid, the smaller kids, they value the choose your own adventure type gaming, no?
Yeah, imagination.
So, you see,
yeah.
D&D, yeah. So you ask them to make choices, the skill checks, the rules are very simple, and they like hearing. You actually spend more time telling a story, and then the choices are like lang sila.
Yeah.
Point and click, roll a die.
Yeah.
Na, parang ganun, parang multiple choice. Parang do this. And then, pag yung mga bigger kids na, that's when you give them more freedom to decide what happens next. Narrative.
It's like you're guiding them, essentially.
Some of them are fine. Gaming is freedom. If they want to play the stat game, fine. Give it to them.
Yeah.
But if they want to play the narrative game, fine. If smaller kids, make it a multiple choice, choose your own adventure type adventure.
Yeah.
So many ways to implement games.
Yeah. Glory, you're in the chat right now. Yeah, can you see the people who's watching?
Yes.
Yeah, we got some questions.
Hans.
We want to say hi to our friends first. What's up to Hans, Chief Meeple himself, to Michael Silva,
hey,
and
Hans.
Toby Abad. Glory, you want to ask those questions on behalf of them?
Hey, Toby.
Yeah, some folks.
Hope we didn't lose too much people in the 5 minutes I was.
Oh, no. That's very important stuff. Very important stuff, though. Don't worry about it.
Okay,
game.
Here. We have a number of questions.
Yeah.
Okay.
Several.
Okay. Sabi ni Toby. Toby is asking, what would you say is the secret sauce that makes something fun?
Well, a fellow game designer who I believe has the secret sauce as well, no?
Nag-share na lang sila ng recipe. You're just talking about recipes here because you guys know what you're talking about.
Recipes. Yeah. Well, I believe it will always go back to the essential experience. And I'm quoting it from the art of game design, no? Our Bible, no? Our design Bible, no? So it always goes back to the core experience, no? Fun is a broad word, no? But I'd like to replace fun with meaning, no? But kasi for some people, the meaningfulness of a game experience is in how fun, how enjoyable, how leisurely it can be. But for some people, it'd be about going through something stressful, going through an experience of, like when you're playing, pandemic, rapid,
rapid response.
Rapid response. No, I've only played it twice. I don't own it yet. But some people like that. That's the stress, no, the making people feel, no, that they're part of that world, immersing them in the experience and making them feel like their choices matter. Na it can be a matter of life or death, no, how big the stakes are, or scale it back, make it more personal, make it internal. What touches the soul, kumbaga, no? Like when we're playing Tokaido, some people want to play Tokaido Cutthroat, but some people, like myself, I play Tokaido like a vacation.
Like a tourist.
Like a tourist. No? I will collect the stuff I want. I will take a bath with the baboons. No? I'm going to look for the baboons. No? Parang ganun. I'm going to eat best food at the inn. No? The game, it's the all of it working together. The mechanics, the art, the components, how it all makes people connect, no? Like in Wingspan, I really appreciate, I overtalk about this game, no? But in Wingspan, no, the tactile experience of having eggs, no, of different colors, no, even your dice tower, which is a badly designed dice tower, if I may say, no, because the way the house is designed, you roll from the back, no, but you ignore that because it looks like a birdhouse, no, and then you even have a field journal, no, so those little things, the attention to detail, the art, the components, no, and the rules, how it all meshes together, if it immerses people in the game, then I think you got the secret sauce.
Okay. Question from Hans. If you had one game to make an impactful impression on your students, what would it be?
Yeah.
I want to
start. Oh, kunyari you have a student.
The games I make.
Yeah, no, kunyari you're teaching your class, right? And then you're finished with your two or three meetings sabihin natin run of your class. Na nag-board games ka, and then your student approached you, Sir Mikey, ano po bang magandang board game kasi gusto ko po maglaro outside of your class. So what games would you show to that student? What would you suggest?
Oh no, kasi it would depend on the student, no?
But yes.
It would depend on the student, it would depend on what they need. But for example,
what's your all purpose, like your catch all? What do you think is the safest one?
Wow, my catch-all. I think it would be co-op games, no? I think it would be co-op games kasi, like, yeah, Pandemic. This is one of my go-to gateway games, no? So, Pandemic, Tokaido, no? Pandemic, Tokaido, and the game that Point Salad replaced in my library, Sushigo, no? So parang yun yung, ano kayo, yung as a co-op experience. You got Point Salad, which looks like a proper tabletop game, but it's more of a party experience of people just taking cards.
Ish, yeah,
Point
ish.
Salad. Ish, diba? And then, it's fun, eh. It's fun and fast, and it's a proper tabletop experience. No, I would also recommend Tokaido because play your way, no? Play your way, move at your own pace. That's literally in the rules of the game, no? You move at your own pace. The slower, the better, no? Parang, so, those games that immerse people, either immerse people, or make them just, make them have fun with the people they're spending time with, no? And that's the fun thing about Point Salad, no? Parang, it's not always obvious if you're winning, no? That's what I like about those games, no? It's not always obvious that you're winning. You can just take the stuff that you want, take your own salad, take those colors, try to attempt to make this kind of combination. And then in Pandemic, the play the way you want. Everybody has roles. No, everybody has roles, and you're all working together on the same thing. No? The thing about co-op games like Pandemic is that it lessens the pressure. No? It lessens the pressure to win by yourself. No, parang someone can cover your ass. Oh no, some of my students are watching. I said ass. it's a body part anyway. So parang those kinds of games that don't put a lot of pressure in terms of competition. That's why I favor Point Salad, Tokaido, and Pandemic. Is that cheating? I gave three answers.
No, it's fine. Like,
okay,
no, I think
okay,
it's
always
but,
here.
Yeah.
But again, the common, so Hans, the common denominator with those three things, I think, is the lack of pressure. No?
Yeah.
You can just take it easy.
Yeah.
But some people take Tokaido with no chill. But in most
Point
the
Salad
game,
din,
but,
kay Hans, medyo hindi chill. Eh, so.
Yeah, no.
What?
Plays it differently.
No.
It's different games. More like a point.
I have a question from me naman. I'll just tweak the question a little bit. What is that one game that when you walang no fail that when you teach it to your class, they try to go back to it or they ask about it.
Yeah.
Alam mo yun, yung,
you're hit.
It's something that they want to keep for themselves.
Sige. Mostly mga tactile games or games that look nice, no? Actually, the reason I don't have Sushi Go anymore in my library because it got played to shreds.
That's a story.
I introduced Sushi Go to my gaming library to our school gaming library in 2015. No, by the time I turned over the org to my friend Martin Morelos, you guys know him, right?
Yeah, Martin's
so,
watching. Yeah.
He's now also a teacher. No? So by the time I turned over Sushi Go to Martin Morelos, and that thing also includes Tokaido, parang dami ng cards na nawawala. The sleeves are all but gone, no? And but it doesn't matter kasi it got played to death.
Yes.
So that's one. Kita mo talaga eh. They enjoy the aesthetic. It's easy to learn, no? The bookkeeping is, and kids love collecting, no? So yung Sushi Go stuff happens, no? They like it. It's cute. They like pudding, even though it makes them lose. another game that, so yun, probably second place would be, yun nga, Tokaido. Yung Tokaido ko pagbalik sa akin,
wala na.
The board has been split into three parts, like physically torn na. Pero okay lang. And then a lot of the tokens are gone, a lot of the coins are gone, no? And, well, we, di ba, tayo as board game owners, we really take care of our stuff, no? And what I learned from, and something that Martin has also learned the hard way, but I will not share his story. Okay, it's hard to teach the value of board games, no? Like, but what I learned from that experience, no, kasi they're little kids, no, and public using games, and not all kids will take care of it the same way. No? But what I learned is, in that half decade that those games were in use and abused, it told me na, yeah, they like this game.
Mm-hmm.
Kasi kids who learned the game in year one, they were the ones to teach it in year two, and then in year three. And then when they graduate or leave the school, those that they taught, they teach it. So I don't care that my copy of Sushi Go Lanterns and Tokaido are missing a lot of components. They're still playable. It's easy to make, no? But that's my indicator. They keep coming back to it, nawala ng parts, nawala ng components. Then there must be something there. And again, it comes to the how appealing the pieces look like, the tactile experience. No? Yun.
Yeah.
I don't know if it answered the
problem. I think it does.
You did.
You gave three games, and that's what Glory's asking. And yeah, Martin says, yeah, it's a sad, sad copy of Sushi Go, but I think that sad, sad copy made many people happy. All right, and I think that's what matters.
It died happy.
Is it still alive, you think? Mikey, na-check mo ba?
Martin would know.
Okay.
He's the new club mother.
Okay. It's with him now. All right, it's his responsibility. Okay, so
yeah,
a lot of this talk about specific game titles now reminds me of something you mentioned, Mikey, while we were preparing for the show, and you talked about curation, no? And I think your answer kanina to Hans's question also addressed Michael's, which is what games do you recommend for those starting the hobby? So maganda nga na co-op games because it takes the pressure away from like learning and winning and more about experiencing the game. So we'll go into another very important part of using education or like just learning with games, and that is the curation process. I think as important as it is to teaching the game and to playing the game is to choosing exactly what goes into this experience. So what tips can you give about curating a collection or choosing games to bring into these lesson plans?
Okay, sige. So, just to clarify, when I mentioned curation, I meant it two ways. Mm-hmm. One is what you said, curating the collection. Mm-hmm. But the other aspect of curating is while teaching, while using the game in the classroom, no? So, I'll touch on both of those briefly. I'm just trying to be mindful of the time, no? Pero for example, okay, this is the part where I use my own game as an example.
Of course.
So when I'm teaching Weekend Patrol, while I'm going through the mechanics, I go the extra mile by because they're not gonna read the manual, no. Teaching the game, I'm already explaining the real world counterpart, the real world significance of that mechanic. Kasi, just to give a bit of a background, Weekend Patrol really is directly it's my best translation of the work I used to do as a Pawikan conservation volunteer, no? So the way we did things, so while I'm explaining the mechanics of the game, so you are all members of the Pawikan Patrol, you have your different roles, and this is the situation. So the storytelling, no? The storytelling, as I'm explaining the mechanics of the game, I'm also explaining how it ties to the topic, how it ties to the real world, how it ties to what, to the skill or knowledge I want them to learn.
Explicit. So that's explicit.
Very explicit. Oh, so, bubble title, no? Very explicit. I'm teaching the game, and as I'm teaching the game, I'm putting in the knowledge content already. And then, as we play the game becomes the classroom. No? So, if you move here, this is what it means. If you place a bird here, it's because these are the habitats it moves in. Oh, look, you can't. I'm always going back to wingspan, no? Oh, you can only put a certain number of eggs on this kind of bird because in reality, this is their maximum capacity in a nest, mm-hmm. no? You get points for trading certain types of food kasi you get certain points for docking certain birds under predatory birds kasi these are their prey.
Yeah, it's so the way nature is, yeah.
So that's why a lot of planning needs to be done if you really want to use these games inside the classroom or even at home, no, for homeschooling. The curating, knowing exactly what you need, and then knowing how to insert the teaching, the learning content, and the skills that you want to do as you play the game. And that's a big departure from how we usually play tabletop games on game nights or on parties. Now everybody's just doing their own thing. No one's there to explain the flavor.
Yes, true.
We're not gonna play Tapestry and explain, oh look, this is the communist uprising. But wait, we're in the Stone Age. Does it make sense, diba? But parang ganun, oh, hey, how did you discover lenses? We're not there yet. So it's a radical departure from how you do it in the cafe, no, in a restaurant
with your friends. Yeah.
When you're in the classroom, you have to be mindful that you're no longer a gamer, you're a teacher. So you have to explain things, no? You have to explain things.
Yep.
And the key there is, mabibitin sila. At the end of the session, mabibitin sila in two ways. One, mabibitin sila dun sa game. Teacher, we want to keep on playing. The other beaten is, they want to know more. They want to know more about the topic.
Mm-hmm.
Parang, teacher, is that really how it works? Like in Pawikan Patrol, teacher, the predator ate the other predator. Does that actually work? Let's see. Maybe you can research how the black-tipped reef shark actually behaves in its habitat, no? So, yun yung sa explicit teaching. And then yung sa curation, I explained that earlier, no? Na choosing the content, choosing the game according to the content, according to the purpose of the game, what you want to do with it, the age group, what you want them to learn, and other hidden skills that you want to teach.
Yeah, that brings up an interesting question here by Toby again. You mentioned na parang part of the curation is not just picking the game specifically, but picking what inside the game you want to use to teach. And I think what comes to mind here is the slew of designs. I'm not sure kung ngayon lang siya nauso or just recently, is yung modular games na parang, okay, here's the base game. Okay. Inside the box, meron na siyang expansions na para, okay, add mo to, tas add mo to, tas add mo to. I'm staring at my copy
Taverns.
Of, yeah, I'm staring at my copy of Taverns right now, and I'm thinking, this is a nice mechanic, but Toby's question actually is, to Mikey, what mechanic do you think deserves more attention, at least for educational purposes? Meron pa bang magandang mechanics na parang like perfect for teaching? I mean, that's one, right? The modular kind of game na parang dagdag mo to, anything else that comes to mind?
Okay, I will come clean that I had a failed attempt at a Euro game inside the classroom. I decided to homebrew an action selection scythe. Okay, so
like
I tried
scythe,
to implement a
scythe-ish, like a scythe-ish game.
Yeah, like a scythe-ish game. Because I knew the game was a little too complex now to use in ano. But action selection and in particular worker placement. No, that's probably one of my teaching regrets. No, that I was not able to. Properly, maybe Martin in the future will be able to do that. He's still teaching naman. Oh no, there's no classroom. But when he gets an opportunity. But worker placement games have a lot, Euro games, no? They have a lot of potential when it comes to resource management. No? Resource management, division of labor, and then if you really want to push it, you can even talk about, oh, look, they're not performing at full capacity. Do you move them? Mm-hmm. Parang, there's so much, ano, worker placement opens up a lot of, ano, opportunities for teaching, no?
Yeah.
Skills, knowledge, even values, no?
Yeah.
Especially if it's a business game.
Yeah.
If it's a 4X game, no? There are many, worker placement, yun na lang, all worker placement games I know and have played take a long time to play, no?
Yeah.
Even just teaching it takes a lot of time, no?
Yeah.
Well, in a way, Wingspan is a... how biased?
Wingspan ulit.
So that's 2 Stonemaier game. No, 3 Stonemaier... No, well, this is my Elizabeth Hart game. Kasi I also mentioned Civilization at Tapestry,
yeah.
No? Wingspan is sort of a worker placement game as well, but because it's in card form, it's very visual, it's not very abstract, no? But the challenge kasi with worker placement mechanics is yung ano, it's very abstracted, no?
Yeah.
The meeples, if they're not meeples, they're cubes or spheres.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to explain, these are workers, but yun, sana, no? Sana some Filipino teacher will a teacher in the Philippines will be able to implement worker placement properly inside the classroom.
Yeah.
No, I missed my opportunity.
Well, it's not too late. I'm pretty sure maybe you can still help Martin out, but I do agree, Mikey, I do agree, kasi I think one of the things that a lot of people, especially grown-ups, mention about coming from the traditional educational institutions are like hindi nila gets kung ano yung natutunan nila sa school. Like, they're talking about, like, trigonometry, calculus. Hindi ko naman ginagamit sa totoong buhay ito. But I think what's nice that you can learn from school is stuff like time management, diba? Action efficiency, studying smart, not hard. And I think, yeah, again, worker placement can teach you that. Diba? Like, oh, this worker
you'd
is not...
a good teacher, DJ Leo. You'd make a good professor.
I was a frustrated teacher, to be honest. I did, technically, enroll to get my LEP license. I almost did that. I legit did that in 2015.
Wow.
Yeah, but I never did. So I guess look at how things turn out. But yeah, eventually, parang yun ang maganda. So hopefully that does happen. Like the worker placement game used in the classroom can teach students how to be efficient with their time, and you know, dumiskarte sa buhay, because that's what we all need.
Or be humane. Or be humane with your workers.
Yes. Tapos
meron siyang, let them rest.
Yes. Tapos meron siyang parang consequence if you like push them too hard, right? But yeah, that's neither here nor there. Sabi ni Hans, roll and write daw. How do you feel about roll and write as an educator, Mikey? Can you tell us about your input about roll and write?
Okay. The best person to talk to about roll and write would be Martin Morelos, mm-hmm. No? My experience with roll and write is near zero. No? It's just not a kind of it's not a kind of game that I resonate with in terms of how the components work, the roll and writing, the bookkeeping, and I haven't given it a chance, no. The closest thing to a roll and write experience that I've had is something me and Martin played in. You're trying to look for treasure on a treasure island. You have markers. I hope he types it in.
Treasure island?
You're looking for treasure and then you mark it on a... You have dry erase markers on a... And then you write in the glossy. You're writing the cards. Parang ganun.
I don't know. Martin would do this. Martin would put it in. He's still watching, definitely. And now you mentioned maybe when we do like a history of roll and write, and then we try to do like an educational angle on it, we'll talk to Martin. Silver and gold, Drow. Silver and gold.
Silver and gold.
Yeah.
No, but there's no rolling there. There's a lot of writing.
Ang experience ko with roll and write, kasi tama ka, Mikey, when you said earlier, it's really about the tactile pieces. Because of the absence of the tactile pieces when it comes to roll and write, hindi siya as patok with the kids that I've played with. So that's the difficulty. But in terms of understanding... yung silver and gold? Oh, no. Blasphemy, we love that game.
No. I mean roll and write. Yung silver and gold, no? Pero what you were saying earlier, yung tactile... Hindi kasi patok sa akin yung walang tactile experience.
Yes, exactly.
Here's what's interesting. Mikey, I was just like you last year, man. I was just like you and I'm like, hindi ko gets yung roll and write. Bakit ganyan? Wala naman ako hinahawakan. Like, there's nothing to see. But give it a few more plays, man, and you'll get it. Like, there is some... I guess there's like a beauty in the lack of, visuals in roll and writes, that when they come out with a game that has visuals, just like Imperial Settlers roll and write and just like Cartographers, baka yun yun. I think try those out, man. When we see each other, when we hang out, I'll let you play Imperial Settlers and Cartographers.
Yeah, we should.
Feeling ko that's what's gonna hook you and you're like, I missed out, and then you're gonna go look at all the old roll and writes and like,
it's weird, no? I'm into tabletop role playing games, but I don't get the same kick from just looking at the package or just looking at the concept.
Yeah, I get you. It's a different kind of tick talaga.
Yeah,
the roll and write.
It's a kind of like you gotta play it and try it till you get it. But that's either here nor there. Medyo nagtangent na naman tayo.
I have a question.
Yes.
Before we end, final question from me is... do you have any tips for the... moms out there who are now transitioning into homeschooling their kids when it comes to introducing a game to their children na pwedeng different age groups? How do you, do you have any tips on how they approach that type of scenario?
Sige.
Moms and dads.
Moms and dads. Oh yeah, kasi madami din akong kilala mga single dads out there, no? But I did promise that I would talk about how to use what you have at home. I think that's what I'd like to focus on for this particular question. No? Kasi we've talked a lot already about choosing the right game, no? Curating the content, and teaching as you play. No? But for the parents at home, I'd just like to emphasize that the parents at home shouldn't be limited to things that can be bought, because there's a lot of room for, there are a lot of print and, you know, there are a lot of print and play resources online, di ba?
Yep.
Jamie Stagmeyer, may mga print and play siya, no? And then there are also stuff that you can use at home, no? Is ang dali, lalong dali kapag, ano, if you're doing a role-playing game kind of experience. There's a lot of things that you can already use at home. Even just using the toys that you already have, materials that you have, if you have coloring materials, if you have origami, you can do origami, you have lots of colored paper at home. That game that Martin also likes, I know a lot of the games he likes, where you cut paper for the park, you're gonna build enough. So there's so many ways that you can use what you have at home. Making puzzles, no? Or even just making the very basic roll and move, no? Even dice, no? Dice, you can make that from cardboard, no? You can use coin flips, no? You can use tokens. You can mix and match the components that you have at home. You might not even need to spend a single cent on a new game, but it's our hope in the industry that people do spend on more new games, no? But last na lang, no? When it comes to choosing games for use at home, for teaching, hopefully it's something that the entire family can enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
No? Something that everyone can join in on the experience. And I think those kinds of games are the best investment, no? Things that bring the entire family together if you got visitors over. And if you choose the right game, there's always a teachable moment. There's always an opportunity to learn, no? Yeah, for example, yeah, Pandemic. I would always recommend Pandemic. And it's perfect for a family setting, no? You want to teach how to work together, no? Knowing your role, and yielding, so games that teach certain values, and a lot of those things are manifested in co-op games, no? Or even mga puzzle games, if you want to teach logic, go to abstract games, no? Pero I really will have to caution, no, na there some games talaga ito, in contradiction to my hot take earlier, there really are games that I think might not get the intention across, no? You want to teach logic and abstraction, you can make the kids play Azul, but they might start fighting over the right tiles or forcing someone to choose tiles that they don't want, and that leads to a lot of infighting, magalan. So it really helps to it really pays to watch it played videos, no?
Mm-hmm.
Check the content, sa mga buyer, parang buyer beware. It's all about doing due diligence and seeing what people think about the game and asking people and making the decision for yourself now whether this is something that will always be brought out, no, on game nights, not just during homeschooling.
Yeah.
I hope that kind of answered the question.
It made sense. It helped. Glory, did it help?
Leo.
I think it did.
May right. Last question. May pahabol na question si Toby. Okay lang ba?
Go. What did Toby ask?
Wow. No,
meron ka daw bang golden goose in the sense of a subject to crack and be able to teach using games? So game,
oh
yeah, that can crack a subject.
Wait, I'd like to understand better yung golden goose. Is it something that I haven't achieved yet, or is it like the thing, the solution to everything,
or like yung a cash cow? Because I think this might just be answered by again, it's Sushi Go, it's Tokaido, and yon, those games that Pandemic. Your students keep asking for. Pandemic, yeah, the games that your students keep asking for. Because I think that's it. I think right now, one of the biggest problems is for them to say yes to a board game na parang para matuto. Because yeah. I think when I was a kid, kung papapiliin ako board game or ano yun, film viewing, mag-film viewing na lang ako. Because it's more passive.
Diba?
Like, I don't
Walang
know.
Gagawin. It's, pwede yeah. ka matulog.
Yes. And I believe kids are still like that these days unless they're gonna play a game on a computer or an iPad. So, again, the number one thing is to hook them. So, I think it's a golden goose in the sense na hook sila. So, the fact na linaro-laro siya to death and the fact na kids still ask for it, like, teacher, when can we play Sushi Go? Teacher, when can we play Pandemic again? I think that's cracking something in some sense, right? That's an achievement unlocked.
Yep.
one last tip pala, no?
Yeah.
And this will also, expand a bit more dun sa last question ni Gloria kanina. Never underestimate the capacity of the kids to teach themselves. No? So even if you only taught a portion of the game, leave the manual there. When they're left to their own devices, you'll be surprised. The next day, suddenly, they're using the characters from Tokaido. Suddenly, they're using the special abilities. Suddenly, oh, teacher, why did you teach this to us? Ah, didn't I? Sorry, ah.
Yep.
But suddenly, they're unlocking skills on their own. No? But I think the key here is just giving them enough.
Mm-hmm.
Give them enough to get started. And then, when they start asking for more, ayun, let it drip. Let it drip lang. But create an opportunity where the game is just there, the manual is there, curiosity strikes, they read through it, and they discover something, and that has happened. No?
Yeah.
Mga strategies you didn't teach them,
mm-hmm.
they're learning by themselves. And when they start teaching other kids, or even other adults, no, then you know you got your golden goose. No? It's not the game. But it's not so much about the game as how the game was taught. And how the children are left to their own devices.
Yeah, that's some real life stuff there. That's almost yung teach a man how to fish, diba? Teach a man how to fish. That's all, man. You just need to give them enough para meron na sila. They have the thirst for knowledge again. And again, as a teacher, that's the best thing you could have. That's you, mission accomplished. All right. So hopefully you guys watching at home enjoyed this little discussion with Mikey, a teacher and game designer by trade, about board games and education. If you did, do let us know. And again, if you did not catch the start of the show, the live stream will be going up on the page again. And I think we are going to be making an audio version of this available for Spotify. And again, for our viewers who are just listening, just do click follow as well so that you stay up to date whenever G Live podcasts are updated and uploaded into Spotify. With that being said, Mikey, where can we catch you, and what's up next for the Tabletop Traveler?
Well, you can easily find me in the environs of Maginhawa Street, so in Yuki Teachers Village, but I go around a lot. I try to visit as many tabletop hangouts as I can. Sometimes I join the people at Black Scoop in Tomas Moroto. Tama ba? Tomas Moroto. Black Scoop, the weekend group there. Sometimes I join the people at in Mandaluyong. Sometimes you can find me in Cavite or in Alabang. I go around a lot. No, but if they want to get in touch, they can always contact me through the Tabletop Traveler Facebook page, or the Pawikan Patrol Facebook page, or just add me on Facebook. I'm a very friendly person.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, once more, Mikey Cuento here, game designer of games such as Puikon Patrol and teacher by trade. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been our take on board games and education. If you have any suggestions for topics for us to talk about every Thursday night on G Live, do let us know. Put it in the comments below. And do check out www.gaminglive.com. All of the games that's been running over in the slideshow and the stuff that Mikey has been talking about, it's all available on the website, www.gaminglive.com. And once again, the pinned comment, it has the G Live Game Night community, the Facebook group up there. Look for that post and you can get yourself a nifty discount on Roll and Write games this month. And yan, I think kung meron pa kaming stock ng favorite game ni Mikey nung Wingspan, it's gonna be there as well. All right, Glory, anything else before we go ahead and call it a night?
Thank you, Mikey, for joining us, and thanks everyone for tuning in on another G Live. See you guys next week.
All right, bye.